You go ahead and pull that. It's Matthew 13 is where we're going. Or Matthew 16. Sorry. We're actually going. Let's do something. What do you think? Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" It's what we do with that will determine the outcome of our life from today and forevermore. What we do with that, how we answer that. It goes on. Peter's response, we all kind of know Peter's response. It says, "You're the Son of the living God." And then Jesus goes on and says, from that revelation, not revelation, but the revelation that he received from Holy Spirit, that he was the Son of the living God, that revelation of who he was is what he was going to build his church on. Not because he got the revelation, but because of what the revelation was. When Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, what did he hear? That's when he started his ministry. What did he hear from? I mean, the heavens opened up. And we're learning that the heavens just didn't gently open up. I mean, it was like thundering voice from heaven says, "This is my Son." That revelation, he's my Son. This is my beloved. I delight in him. Upon that revelation, that same revelation that Peter understood later, and that's what he was going to build his church on. So it's what you do with that. Who is he? Who is this man, Jesus? He's the one you need to meet. It's not come in here on Sunday mornings and have some great worship, right? Great word, great everything. You don't need to meet Sid. You don't need to meet Lori. They're great people. You don't need to meet James, Linda. You need to meet Jesus. And it's what you do with him will determine what you do in life. Period. And we can come on, boy, we can tie a pretty bow around it, and we can do some really cool things. We can have VBS. We can do all the things. We can go on a mission trip. You can do all those things. If we're not meeting Jesus, then we're missing it. When we first started coming here, we're kind of new. Well, we're probably some of the newest people here. I heard this phrase a lot. No fluff here. No fluff, no fluff. And I loved it. We don't need religion. We don't need the fluff. We don't need a cute bow tied on it. Jesus, there's nothing about Jesus that was cute. It's a real thing. The first thing, when the heavens thundered and God spoke and said, "This is my Son, in whom he's my beloved, in whom I find delight." Immediately, that's in Matthew 3, immediately in Matthew 4, the next thing Jesus heard spoke was what? Here comes the enemy saying, "If you are the Son of God," you're talking about voices and listening and giants and champions. This is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus heard. He heard the thundering of heaven open up, coming down in the form of a dove, Holy Spirit come and remained, right? He heard, "This is my Son. This is my beloved. I'm well pleased." The next thing he heard, "Well, if you really are the Son of God, then do this, do this, do this, do this." He heard it twice. If you really are the Son of God, do this, do this. This was a man, Jesus. There's one mediator, Paul says in Timothy. One God one mediator between God and men. It's the man, Jesus. We've got to meet the man, Jesus. Not some super man, hero kind of person that's hopefully one day that will deliver us. This is a man that was tempted just like me, lived a life just like me, but without sin. Acts says that Jesus, God anointed Jesus. He was anointed by God. Same anointing that we are. We're no different. John says, if you abide, well, Jesus said in John being the author, I'm sorry. But Jesus said in John, if you abide in me and I abide in you, it's all about abiding, right? Abiding. And then John says in 1 John, if you really do abide in him, then the works that you see him do, you should do. We walk just as Jesus, not something like Jesus, just as Jesus. That's scripture. That's not Marty. Just like Jesus. So what am I waiting on? I mean, and I hope you are too. I'm over the condemnation and trying to live up to, and I think they had a word in some of the songs that we sang today about there's no striving. We're not earning anything from him. He's our delight. That's why we willingly lay our lives down. Our lives are not our own anymore. We gave that up. You have no more rights. Right? Galatians 2:20. It's not my life I live. It's him living his life through me. That's the only way that we live just like Jesus. It's him living his life through me. It's not about me. It's not about you. Sorry. That's what we signed up for. But until we know him as the Son of the living God, and also the Son of man, right? It's the man, Jesus. Read Romans 5. It talks about sin coming through Adam, right? We all know that. Sin coming through Adam, the man, Adam. Righteousness coming through the man, Jesus Christ. He was a man. I'm not taking away his deity because he was so God. But he was a man anointed by God. It's not some pie in the sky one day we may achieve or we may can or we might. Well, you really can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. If we were not trained in the way that we've been trained, for me, 56 years of training in religion and in what I perceive as the gospel, if we just picked this book up knowing nothing and we just read it for what it was, what would it be like? What would your faith look like? What would your life look like? Jesus being the Son of God, Son of the living God, Son of man. That revelation, he knew who he was. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I was in a conversation with this lady and she said, talking of her daughter, and said if she could only see herself the way I see her, then she wouldn't live in the regrets and not measuring up to the standard in which the world puts us on. Because this may not look like everyone else's, and that may not look like everyone else's, and I don't measure up in this regard, or I don't do this, or I don't do that. Our confidence is in him alone. It's not me. It's not you. It's us. And the whole time I was in this conversation with the lady, and then days after that, God just began just to, like, Marty, if you could really only see yourself the way I see you. He's trying his guts out to pour his love on us, but yet we think, oh, we don't measure up. We don't do this. I don't do this well. I don't do that well. I'm not good enough. Well, guess what? No, you're not. but you are. But it's not about you. If we live with the limitations that we've placed on ourselves and other has placed on us, then we'll never measure up to this. Because he says all things are possible, right? Apart from me, you can do absolutely zero, is what Jesus said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's in that whole abiding in John 15. John 15, abiding. You can do absolutely zero apart from me. But he also says, with me, all things are possible. So we've just got to be with him and in him and in this place of abiding. Jesus said the same thing about himself. He could do nothing apart from the Father. Of myself, I do nothing. That's what Jesus said. It's kind of heavy to me. It's like, no, you're Jesus. You can do everything because you're Superman. No. Jesus knew why he was here. He was here not. I mean, he says even his doctrine was not of himself. His doctrine was none of himself. It was all God. He depended. I don't do anything unless I see him do it or I hear him do it. Then that's what I'll do. Nothing. I didn't come to be served. I come to serve. That's what we're signing up to. Jesus knew who he was, knew why he was here. He knew his assignment. I think that's where we kind of miss it. I think we're trying to live some life that we were never designed to live because we feel like sometimes we still don't measure up and we just don't relax and just kick our feet up and enjoy the ride that he's got us on. We're trying to prove or we're trying to make it something that he's never designed it to be. Because when we fully come to understand who we are in him and everything that it says in there that I am because of him, then I am. And it's by faith. To you that prophesy, according to the faith that you have, prophesy. Be it unto you according to your faith. You'll never see yourself as righteous until you see yourself righteous. You'll never see yourself justified until you actually see yourself justified. Justification comes through faith. You've got to believe you're justified. Just if you had never sinned, you're clean before him. You're not this sin-stained, low-down scum of the earth, which, that's a phrase of mine that I always thought of myself. You low-down scum of the earth, because I know me. But I'm coming to know me under the blood. And when we get that, that's when we see him rightly and we become. And then, I believe, when we see him rightly, Scripture says as we see him, then we're transformed by him from glory to glory. We're transformed by that. How we see him will determine our outcome in life. That's what I started off with. Because you continually see him, then you're transformed into his image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're transformed by that. By looking at him, and when we see him rightly as the Son of God, because that's what's contested. That's what he's building his church on. It's the Son of the living God. When we see him as that, when we see him rightly, then we will become that. And until we see him rightly, when we see him as only a suffering Savior, and he is, right? Or he was. When we see him in his fullness and we begin to understand who we are, and until that, though, we are always going to be looking like, man, I wish I could do that, or I wish this, I wish that. You'll never see yourself in the fullness, and then you not live up to it. And then we're walking around. The enemy has us right where he wants us because you're not living it out. But be it unto you according to your faith. You know, we live in an age to where it's, everybody gets a trophy, and now you get cupcakes and all the things now at the sporting events. And I'm not just saying sporting events, but really, I mean, our culture is, I mean, we're kind of soft. Say it again. Oh, yeah. We can't stand to hear a hard word, and that's the way I feel for me personally. This is hard for me. Because I said, I don't know, a month or so ago, I come in and we've kind of settled in right over here in this spot, and we've moved around, but we kind of settled in over here. But I come in time after time and treat this as so common, and it's not. And that's me. And it's not a common thing or a irreverent thing to see yourself as the way God sees you, because until we do, we'll never be all that He designed us to be. It's not according to your work. Paul says, he talks to Timothy, you've been called not according to your work. Hey, you offer a lot of good stuff, right? I mean, you bring a lot of good stuff to the party. You have a lot of talents. You have a lot of gifts. You have all these things. But that's not why He's calling you to Himself. It's not according to your works, but it's according to His plans and His purposes that He's calling you. So along with forgetting all your failures and all the things that you think that you don't measure up in, also forget about your successes and what you think you bring to the table. It's all about what He brings to the table, and this man is Jesus. And I'm meeting Him. I've met Him. I used to think, man, am I ever going to get to heaven? If I'm born again or if I'm not, it's always this. Life was crazy, stupid. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but that stupid is a good word for me. I mean, I'm not calling you stupid. I'm just like stupid crazy. It's a good thing. He's either got to be worth it or He's not. And we can play church. We can play all the things that we tend to play. And we can treat Him as common as I have done. But boy, I don't want to, because He is far from, He is not common. He is that holy, reverent, all being that right now that our angels are flying around, whatever you may think of that. But I can think that there's people just blowing His ears off. Holy, holy, holy are you. That's who we serve. The kids in VBS, they need to meet Jesus. Marty needs to meet Jesus, because He is showing me facets of who He is, and every day seems like. Marty, if you could only see yourself the way I see you, you wouldn't live beneath the plans and purposes that I have destined for you before time began. That makes me want to just blow up inside. And if I can ever get to a place, if we can ever get to a place to where all these outside influences and all these noises doesn't compete with that, that's the church that the gates of hell that will not prevail against, because we'd have no place for it. We know who we are. We're not listening to that. We're not. All these things, sometimes we just allow things. I mean, well, you know, that's the way God created me. Really? I mean, according to this, I have a new DNA. Brand new creation. Now all things are of God. So all those things, emotions, strengths, weaknesses that I had before that, all that's going away according to this. And that's up to me by faith to receive it. But it's gone. So all these labels that we put on each other of, you know, you can do all the tests and all these spiritual, and I'm not against tests and spiritual gifts and all those things. But, you know, you have, God, what's that? I was in a conversation the other day. I was talking about the love languages, right? I mean, I've never read the book, but, you know, we all have these languages, or we all have something. Oh, and another thing, you have types of A, B, C, D, or whatever. So my question in all of those things, which are good, right? I mean, I'm not saying they're bad or nothing. But who did the study, and what person did they do the study on? Was this a redeemed man and woman that they did the study on? Or was this a fallen man from Adam that they did the study on? So what am I allowing myself just to fall into, because that's just the way things are? Am I continually being renewed by this? Because according to this, I have a brand new DNA. It's him. I am now a son. That same son that Jesus knew who he was and God proclaimed and broke down and said, "You're the Son of Man. You're the Son of God." Right? And I'm well pleased. Now, when we determine and conclude that we are those sons of God, you are those daughters of God, then you start living in the fullness of what that says, not what man says. That's my aim. This is the reason we're here. Not to have some cute. I'm tired of cute. I'm tired of me. This is me, right? He's becoming more and more real every day, for sure. Because he's showing me things in discipline, right, to me. And I kind of like discipline for the first time in ever, probably. But he's correcting me. Proves that I'm a son, according to Scripture. I can't deny him. And this book tells me that I'm supposed to live a different life than I'm living now. And here's the hard word. According to you, your faith, it is on us. According to your faith, be it unto you. What are you believing for? And maybe at any time, Pastor Sid just come up and jerk me down and say, "Marty, that's not right." But I wonder if Marty hadn't creeped into some of the softness. I want to know Jesus. And I believe we all in here do. But Sid's word for the year was teach us how to live. With that, it's challenging me. So in that, obviously, there are some areas in my life that I need to change, that I need to consider differently than I do right this moment. So, meet a man, and his name is Jesus. Meet a man, the one that we were created in, his image. Meet that man. He's also God. But he is a man that suffered just like we do. Used the bathroom just like we do. Lived a life just like we do. But yet without sin. That blows me away. Because he was me, yet without sin. Meet that man. That's the man I want to meet. Because he's invited me into that same relationship. The same relationship. Nothing less than that same life. Blows me away. So, we want to encounter him. And we are encountering him. Amen. So, really what I'd like to do is, we're all going to get up here and we're all going to pray. BBS, baby. BBS. That's what I'm saying. And not just BBS, but for my prayers for us. And if anybody else has got something they want to say. You. I
do. It's so good, Marty. It's so true. And that's what we need is truth. I've been married to Sydney so long, I've turned into this history buff. I mean, it's just like, I love history. So I'm reading this book called Diamond Eye, and it's about this lady sniper during World War II for Russia. And before the war started, she was about a 16-year-old girl, and she's beautiful, petite little girl. Nothing you'd see as being a sniper. And she got married and had a son, and he was a surgeon, and he just was some bad man. They got divorced, and she said one day we went to pick up her son. He was 6 years old, and then we had a shooting range, and her husband was berating her son because he couldn't hold up the rifle and couldn't shoot. And she said, that's not going to happen again. So she took a year-long class and became a master marksman before the war. And when the Germans invaded Russia, the day they invaded, she signed up. She said, I'm a marksman. And they're like, there's no way. She said, put me on the front line. I can do this. And she had 348 kills confirmed. But she said, actually, it was up above about 600. Because they couldn't confirm it. If they couldn't go get their tags, they wouldn't confirm it. And they eventually, she got wounded. Everyone in her platoon, she became a over her platoon, but her and her partner that would go out with her, they all were killed. She was injured. They sent her over here to the States to meet the Roosevelts. Eleanor and her became really good friends, and they sent her over here because they wanted the United States to get more involved in the war. They wouldn't give them enough help. They were losing. They were losing cities. She lost two cities while she was fighting. So she comes over here and she meets Eleanor, and they become friends. And Eleanor's like, we don't know, should we fortify the Pacific? Should we fortify Europe? And she saw it through a different lens, what she was saying. She could understand why we wouldn't just throwing stuff at her and helping her. But they got over here and they thought she was just a fake. The press couldn't believe it, that she had done all these things. They thought it was just propaganda. And her and Eleanor became great friends. And she said, how did you... You're a beautiful, articulated, educated woman. How could you kill all these people? And she said, I pictured my son standing behind me. And they were coming to kill my son. And it became very easy. That made it easy. And when I was reading all this, the Lord said, we have an enemy who's coming after our kids. As we're preparing for VBS, we've got to stand and say, you can't have them. You can't have what's back here. And the enemy's coming at us with lies. And right after the war, you know, Russia kind of turned, it comes into the Cold War era. And during the Cold War era, Russia realized that we had so many good spies that we were finding out all their plans. So you know what they did? It's like the enemy's doing now. They bombarded us with so many lies of what they weren't going to do. Say they give you 100 lies out there, Eric. We were running around chasing our tail. We couldn't figure out what was true and what was not going to happen. So there was so many lies coming and going and going and going. They sent journalists to become editors in newspapers to send out lies. And that's what the enemy's doing to us as Christians. He's given us so many lies that God doesn't love us, that he's not here for us, that he's not who he says he is. Like Marty was saying this morning, that we're weak, that we're all these things. And it's all these lies. Nick, it bombards us with our health. The lies that, you know, I just went this few weeks ago, my back has gone another 5 degrees worse. And the enemy's like, you're going to be crippled before you die. And the Lord said, no, you're not. And I went to a therapist the next week. I haven't told you this. And she started asking me, what all do you do in your daily? I said, well, I ride horses and I hike and I cut grass. She said, you do all that? You shouldn't be able to do that. You shouldn't be. I said, but God. Hallelujah. But God. I still do all these things. Hallelujah. And Bill Johnson said, how do we fight the lies? We study the truth. Right. When bankers are teaching people how to find counterfeit money, you know what they study? Real money. They study real money so much that when they see a fake, that's fake. And Nick, when the enemy comes against us, tells us lies, we've got to have so much of the truth in us that we can say, nope, that's a lie. That's a lie. And that's what we want to do today. Why don't y'all come back up and do the song, Let It Rain, again? And I want us to think in our lives, what are the lies? And it's so subtle. It's so subtle, lies. Let me tell you what the Word tells us. Go home and read Proverbs 8. talking about wisdom. The Lord tells us, you will find true success when you find me. For I have insight into wise plans that are designed just for you. He's going to give you, Hannah, designs just for you. I'm an older kind of woman. And I can tell you, for definite sure, 14 years ago, God gave me specific designs in Sydney on how to protect our family legally through business. Did he not? Before anything started, we started business. God gave us designs. He would give me designs. I would write them down in the middle of the night. This is what we've got to do. I didn't know where he was leading me, but he had designs for us. It works. It works. It works. He said, I hold in my hands living understanding, courage, and strength. They are ready and waiting for you. I will empower you to reign and rule. He says, in the beginning, I was there. I was there close to, this is Jesus. Now I was there close to the Creator's side. It's his master artist. Daily, God was filled with delight in me, in Jesus. As I playfully rejoiced before him, I laughed and played. So happy with what he had made while, listen to this, Jesus says, I was finding delight in my children of men. Jesus delights in you. Just like you delight in your kids, they don't have to be perfect. He just wants you to be you, Eric, or who you've been created to be. There's freedom in that. There's freedom to be. I'm kind of loud. I used to be kind of, I'm not a quiet Gigi. My kids say, here comes crazy Gigi, and I love it. I've embraced it. That's who I am. It's who you're created to be. Be free in that today. When we start singing this, Let It Rain, let's stand up and just say, Father, show me some lies that I'm believing and let me see the truth that you say about me. Let me see the truth you say about these kids, that we are standing between the enemy and them. And we don't want to scare them with what the enemy wants. We want to tell them what God's love is. And the truth of his love is, this is how we stand, Marty. This is how we fight. It's in the love of the Lord, what he has for us. That's how we fight. That's how we stand. Amen. 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 Lay down some lies today. Lay down some, hold the truth up. It stands. It's true. It's true.
Let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain, let it. Let it rain, let it rain.
When David went down to fight Goliath, we had a couple songs that mentioned the giants, and then Brett brought it up a while ago. When David went down to fight Goliath, do you know what he carried? Shepherd's bag and a sling. Everybody told him he needed to try on the armor. And he actually entertained the thought, and he allowed them to put Saul's armor on him, not just any armor, but the best armor. And the world will come in, and the world will tell you as an individual, you need to put on the armor that makes sense. And the world says this is the best, or this is good, or this is necessary, or whatever. But after he put it on, he's like, man, this don't fit. It wasn't a size thing. He didn't say it's too big. He just said it's not proven to me. And so it says that he carried his shepherd's bag and a sling. And on the way to meet Goliath, he picked up the five smooth stones. As he crossed the brook. My point being is that he went in the uniqueness of who he was in God. You see, when he was a shepherd, it's when he met God. When he was a shepherd is when he knew God. When he was a shepherd was when he fellowshiped with God and communed with God. It's when he built his history with God. It wasn't when Samuel anointed him with oil. When Saul was like, who are you? He didn't say, well, Samuel anointed me with oil. I'm going to be the next king. His value, his courage was found in who he knew to be, who he knew himself to be, in the God that he knew. When he was telling them why he could fight Goliath, because he would say, my God. My God. Our God. That's all I need. You look at this shepherd's pouch and this sling as if it's nothing. I look at it as if it's everything. And God wants us to go. I kept hearing when I was down here, I kept hearing points of navigation. Points of navigation. Whether that be the North Star or the Southern Cross, the first time I saw the Southern Cross, I was underwhelmed. I thought, really? That's the Southern Cross? I mean, I looked at the lady that was showing me, and I'm like, that's the Southern Cross? Really? She said, yeah, but you can navigate by it. It is constant. It is underwhelming in comparison to some of the other stars in this galaxy. But you can navigate by it. And our faith, our relationship with God, the life that we live to the world can look underwhelming. It's not fancy like Saul's armor, but you can navigate by it. You can navigate by it. Our children can navigate by it. These kids that come into VBS, I want to be something they can navigate by. The world says it's not enough. It's not big enough. It's not fancy enough. It's not flashy enough. It doesn't have enough followers. Doesn't have enough likes. Doesn't have enough crowdfunding. And yet the Polynesians founded the whole South Pacific by a single point of navigation. Magellan found a better way to the Pacific by a point of navigation that was underwhelming, but it was true. It was right. It was unmovable. It was unshakable. And that's who we are in Christ. That's who we are in Christ. Don't look like a brass helmet. Looks like a shepherd's pouch. Doesn't look like a spear or a shield. Looks like a sling. But that's the thing that you can navigate your life by. Who is he? That's the piercing question. He asked Peter and the disciples. To the others, he was John the Baptist reincarnated, or Elijah, or Jeremiah, or some of the prophets. But to those that knew him, Peter says, "You are the Messiah. You're the Messiah. And because of that, and because of who you say I am, I can approach anything with my shepherd's pouch. I'll pick up rocks on the way, that's fine. I'll pick up five, Goliath's got four brothers. And if I need more, I'll pick up more on the journey. But all I need is my pouch and my sling." So here will we be points of navigation. Yeah, but I want to be Orion's belt. I want to be the Southern Cross. People can find their way by looking at it. And that's what Jesus said. He said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me." You can find your way by looking at him. Let that be us. Let that be us. I tell you, let's finish up like this. Let's all come down. Let's pray for these kids that are going to be coming through the doors this week. Okay. Y'all come on down. Everybody come on down. Everybody. I'm not a pastor, prophet, evangelist. All of that stuff. You're the Southern Cross. You're Southern Cross. Come on up, everybody. Y'all come on up. Amen. Y'all come on up. Yeah.
This year, I've made the comment to Cindy. I don't know where while we were decorating, I said, you know, I did not feel like I'm called to head up VBS or any, but I felt so strongly there's a need and you're going to fill it, but I want you to get out of the way and let me do exactly what I need to do. And as I've been praying for a couple months now about it, I just said, God, I want, he said, what do you want? And I said, I want salvation. I want salvation for these kids. I want it for their households. And he said, keep going. What else do you want? And I said, well, I want them to have freedom and I want them to feel joy coming to church. And then he said, okay, you know, like, on, like that, maybe it wasn't a great answer, but what do you want out of your kids? And I said, well, I want Caroline to not have anxiety. He said, okay, pray that every kid that they leave without anxiety. What else do you want? And I said, well, I want health, physical health. He said, pray that these kids don't have, even as down to like eczema on their skin. What do you want for your kids? And I want peace. I want them to take peace wherever they go, whether that is in a classroom or a home or a ball field or an art studio. I want them to carry your presence and I want it to consume them. And he said, just keep going. Keep going. What else do you want? I said, I want them to have strong, like-minded friends who are going to push them out of their comfort zone. He said, pray for connections. Pray that these kids meet new people that they can connect with and go to school with or do things with that will strengthen them in their walk. And just keep going. And so as we pray, I want you to keep going. What do you want for your kids? And I want you just to pray that over these kids we've never seen before that are coming in. We're going to have 80 souls coming in hungry for God, and they don't even know it. And I just, it's going to be chaos. I am sure of that. But I want us just to get out of the way, and let God just flow so mightily this week. And just that abundant life for these kids. It's not just a let's come in and make a, you know, a bandana scarf thing and ride a horse and go home. It's them carrying the presence of Almighty God back to their homes and chains breaking off generational curses this week for these kids, that they don't have to walk in the things that their parents and grandparents have walked in. That just believe for more this week, that it's not vacation Bible school. It's come with an expectancy of this is revival, and these kids finding their first true love in Him this week, and that they could just, not just a taste, but let them just be consumed. So as we all pray, just keep going. Whatever you would pray over your kids, if you don't have kids, what you want someone to pray if you did have kids. So let's just all come together, and I'm going to pray, but you pray your own, whatever it is right now. God, we thank you. God, we thank you that we have the opportunity for these precious souls to come in this week, God. God, we pray that we would get out of the way. We pray your presence would abide. God, help us to host your presence. God, give us discernment on how to love on each kid and what they need, God. God, we declare salvation first and foremost, God, that we pray their hearts would come in so tender, so sensitive to you, so open to you, God, this week. God, we ask, God, that they would say yes the first time their heart is convicted. God, it's not a repeated thing. It's not it's not a struggle. It's, God, that they just feel your presence, and God, they welcome it. They say yes the first time. God, we declare that each child that comes in here, they don't have to struggle with things to come, with scars from different sins. God, that they would say yes, and they would just walk in your power. From a young, your presence would be all they know in their lives, God. It would be all they know. God, we declare that when they're at the music station, God, that they would fall in love with the freedom of worshiping their Savior. God, we declare that when they are at crafts, that you would speak to each kid on what exactly it is their heart's desire is. God, speak so clearly to them. We declare sound minds over these children, God. We declare that they would be able to know your truth and block out every lie. That they would know your truth. God, we declare physical health over them. I rebuke right now any anxiety, God, ADD, ADHD, God, we rebuke that. They do not have to live with that. God, that their bodies, their minds, their mental, physical, and spiritual health would be exactly as you created it to be. This sin curse does not have authority over their life. Jesus, we plead your blood over them. We plead your blood over their homes. We declare household salvation. God, I pray for the parents who do know you. God, I pray that this would just ignite something in them to believe for more, to push in deeper and deeper and deeper as a family unit, that they would press in deeper, God. God, your blessings, your gifts, pour it out. God, we want to be greedy and asking for so much of your presence. There is never enough. Never enough. I pray for each child coming in. God, let them be so tender, so sensitive to you. God, I pray that we would help facilitate that in whatever it may look like. Help us to get out of the way, God, and we want just you, only you, all of you, pour it out, Father God. Help us to believe for more. Help us to have the confidence to keep asking for the little stuff. To keep asking, God, let us keep coming to you because we know that you are such a good, good Father. When we come to you, your answer is, here it is. Here it is. Here I am. What else do you need? What else do you want? Here I am. We thank you for how gracious you abundantly give and how abundantly you pour out on our lives. God, let these children feel safe. Let them just fall in love with you and your presence. Let it never be enough. Let the hunger stay. Let the hunger stay in them all the days, God. We thank you for your promise of the abundant life. And God, we are going after it. We're going after it. And we declare these kids are going to constantly say, yes, we're going after it. We're coming after you, Lord, because you meet us time and time again exactly where we are. We thank you that we can rest in that. And we pray for no rain. Amen.
All right. Awesome. All right, guys. We're dismissed. We'll see y'all tonight and this week. Good day in the house today. Man, his presence was sweet, wasn't it? Wow. Wow. Love you guys. Yep, we'll see y'all tonight.